Well, arresting judges without evidence would seem like a shocking violation of constitutional democracy, but that's exactly what happened in Turkey. A state of emergency declared after that unsuccessful coup in July led to the arrest of over 2,700 judges and prosecutors because their names appear on a list of suspected members or alleged associates of a suspected terrorist group. Now, some of those Turkish jurists have received training from a group of judges in the U.S. who've been promoting the rule of law overseas. As David Boeri of Here and Now contributor WBUR in Boston reports, participation in the American training programs may be one of the reasons the Turkish judges came under suspicion.
Former Justice Robert Cordy is worried sick about the fate of the judges he helped train in Turkey and in Boston. They've been fired, jailed, or gone missing.
It's devastating. I don't think anything has ever devastated me more than seeing this happen to people that I have come to know, love, respect. It is just beyond the pale.
For the last 15 years, Cordy served as a justice of the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. The state constitution he helped interpret enshrines the concept, coined by President John Adams, of a government of laws and not men, where judges are independent and no one is above the law.
So creating a rule of law society where people can depend on courts as a place to get justice is really an important part of what we try to do and what we try to help those judiciaries do.
Cordy and federal judges Richard Stearns and Mark Wolf regularly travel overseas to countries with a history of authoritarian rule and courts tainted by favoritism, false testimony, and fabricated evidence. In Turkey, they've shared best practices and philosophy. Turkey, in turn, has sent judges to America for language and legal training.
Judges in Turkey and elsewhere are inspired by our example.
As a young prosecutor, Mark Wolf helped reform the Justice Department after the clandestine crimes and cover-ups of the Nixon administration. Later, as a federal judge, he demanded government accountability for its protection of mobster Whitey Bulger, another case foreign judges are familiar with.
They know about it in Turkey and in the Czech Republic and in Russia because it is the role of judges in the United States, as I say, to find the facts in certain circumstances, apply the law, and to come out with decisions uninfluenced by fear or favor.
Wolf and Cordy describe their younger Turkish counterparts as the best and brightest. But in July came the catastrophe. After a military coup attempt on the 15th, the government of Recep Tayyip Erdogan blamed it on his former colleague, the exiled cleric Fethullah Gulen, who was labeled a terrorist. Calling the uprising a gift from God, Erdogan launched a counter-coup against the Gulenists.
Within hours of the coup attempt failing, there were basically lists of names issued to arrest or to detain certain judges and prosecutors.
Emma Sinclair Webb is the director of Human Rights Watch in Turkey. She describes a massive purge of judges, civil servants, and teachers.
The point is the lack of process in all of this. It literally seems to have been that they were names on a list, so there was no discussion of criminal wrongdoing. It was rather guilt by association. There was an assumption that all of these people were supporters of the U.S.-based Fethullah Gulen, and that therefore that was the crime.
Over 3,600 judges and prosecutors were suspended. At least 2,700 of them were jailed, and lawyers who might defend them were also arrested. Again, Robert Cordy.
Families have been destroyed. Assets of thousands of families of judges and prosecutors just seized. Many of them are in jail waiting for hearings that will never be due process hearings, as far as I can tell. This is the world turned upside down.
In Boston, judges and lawyers have tried desperately to account for the status and whereabouts of their Turkish colleagues. Judge Wolf shows me photos of a judge's young children. He reads the man's last message.
The news are not well. I was examining a list of judges and prosecutors removed from their post. I am in it. The government issued an arrest warrant, so this mail may be my last message for a while. Please pray for me and my country.
The Turkish government of President Erdogan says the judges are where they are because of their links to and support of the alleged terrorist organization it accuses Gulen of running from his exile in Pennsylvania.
This is not a political perch. Turkey is not on a witch hunt.
Ömer Budak, the Turkish consul general in Boston, says his government acted to defend its national security and its democracy. He depicts Gulenists as an organized crime syndicate and international cult that operates by stealth. And he accuses those targeted judges of themselves subverting the rule of law.
Their key tactic is concealment, and they are also ordered to infiltrate all critical state institutions in Turkey, armed forces, police, intelligence, economic institutions, as well as judiciary.
Judges Wolf and Cordy scoff at the idea that the judges they worked with were Gulenists or terrorists. Cordy claims they will be denied due process.
I can't imagine there's a single judge or prosecutor in Turkey that would ever rule against the government, because with this hanging over their head, they would be next, and they know that. And that's the worst part of this.
Wolf cites a familiar scenario for authoritarian leaders.
In Henry VI, Shakespeare has Jake the Butcher say that when we succeed in this rebellion, the first thing we'll do is kill the lawyers, meaning we don't want people to advocate for the rule of law when we get power.
And this takes it one step further, Wolf says, by disabling those judges who might have proclaimed, "We are a government of laws and not men." With President Erdogan seen as a critical ally of the West in the war against ISIS, Judges Wolf and Cordy say that the U.S. State Department has been noticeably quiet on the subject of the Turkish judges. A reminder, perhaps, that not everyone shares the same enthusiasm as the judges do in advocating for the rule of law. For Here and Now, I'm David Boeri.